to receive it. I want you to receive it. I want as a church, us to receive a double portion. Whatever portion you have, that God just doubles it. Whatever aspect. Along with that, we were sharing is a double commitment. And that if we expect more, we should give more. And given it shall be given unto you. And that right alongside of this expectation of a double portion was, what if we just doubled our commitments to the Lord? Doubled our time in prayer. Doubled our time in the Word. Doubled our time in witnessing to others. Now that's one aspect that I can really say in my life, that has happened. Maybe more than double. Just been encouraged to take cards and give them out, just invitation cards as I'm talking with people. And just seeing the good response come back. This morning when Larry came into the office, he said, I've run out of all cards. He said, we were shopping for furniture for their house. And he said, every salesman that came to him, I gave him a card. And he had some really good aspects. People talking, yeah, I used to go to church. I don't go to church now. Well, here's a card. Come on out. We just need to be really be intentional in prayer and in being in God's Word and sharing our faith and our giving and every aspect of our lives. And so, are you laying hold of it? I don't get that much feedback. I get some feedback, but I really want you to lay hold of this and be believing for it in your own life. And maybe you want to just drop me an email and say, yeah, I'm doing that, and just give a little brief thing. That would encourage me just to get a few emails from people that would just say, yeah, this is what I'm believing for, or just simple, I'm believing for a double portion, whatever it might be. Now, this morning, I want to follow along as I was just sort of waiting on the Lord, what would he want us to do, and this theme is sort of percolating in my mind. And I want to talk to you this morning about the connection between prayer and your double portion. Because we've already mentioned, we need to double our prayer. And the title of the message this morning is Pray the Promise of Double Portion. Pray the Promise of Double Portion. There is a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. Take it out and just follow along with us. Fill in the blanks. I want to start in James 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let me just repeat that sentence. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then it goes on to say, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, this is written to the New Testament church, and he's telling us the value of prayer, that we should be together, confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. In other words, there's an openness among us, and we're praying for one another. And healing, these verses are right in that aspect where it says, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil. Prayer of faith will save the sick. So, he's right here speaking about how do we receive the benefits from God? How do we receive healing? How do we overcome and receive power to get through afflictions? And so he's telling us what to do. And he says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he gives the example of Elijah. So let me just give you the fill-ins here. Prayer is essential to receive your double portion. Prayer is essential to receive your double portion. I've made this statement several times. There's nothing the church says is more important than prayer. I've been to many churches. That would be said, there's nothing more important than prayer. And yet, in a practical sense, there's less that we do of. You know, in that relationship, saying it's the most important, but practically, we do the least of. We all know that prayer is important, but just ask yourself, how much did you pray this past week? I've encouraged you to believe for a double portion. I believe many of you have. You may have even written it down. But have you been praying for it? Well, say, no, well, I'm believing for it. I'm exercising my faith for it. But the question, are you praying for it? And I want you to see that prayer is essential to your receiving your double portion. You could go through this whole year writing down, this is what I believe from the Lord. But if you've never prayed for it, you've never bathed it in prayer, you never massaged it in prayer, prayer wasn't wrapped around it in any way. It was just sort of left there. I've stated it, but I haven't really done anything about it. It's probably very unlikely you're going to receive it. Now, sometimes God just by grace does things for us. But from what we see in the Word of God, prayer is so important for us to receive what God is. And we're going to lay this out as we go through the message this morning. Now, this portion in James, it tells us this. The prayer that avails the most is effective and fervent. What kind of prayers do you pray? The most beneficial, successful prayer, the one that avails the most, it says here, it is effective and it's fervent. In other words, it brings the effect into being. It's not an empty prayer. See, the Bible says that many times we pray and we don't receive because we pray amiss. I'm so glad that prayer isn't just something that no matter what you pray, God will give it to you. Because we'd be in a pretty bad state if just whatever we prayed we'd get. I'm glad he does filter my prayers. And if it's not according to his will, and I'm asking amiss, I'm asking for something that's not really going to be beneficial, that he doesn't answer that prayer. And the Bible says that, you know, we don't have our prayers answered because we're asking amiss. And so it's important that we get our prayers on target, that they're going to be effective prayers. And secondly, that they're fervent prayers. You look up the word fervent, it means burning. It's burning. When something is set on fire, it's consuming. A match on not lit is, you can put it in your pocket. But a match on fire, now I have to do something. This is dangerous. And a fervent prayer is a burning prayer. Something that is affecting everything around it. It's a prayer of intensity. It's a prayer that's moving deep inside of you. An effective, fervent prayer is the most successful prayer. Now, in light of this, it gives Elijah as an example. Elijah is an Old Testament prophet. And it gives the example of when he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 3 months. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it rained. And it prefaces this whole by saying he was a man of like nature of us. In other words, he wasn't a super duper spiritual individual. It says he was just like us. A lot of times we say, well, my prayers won't be answered because, you know, my human nature, what I think, what I do, I'm not very, you know, if I look at my life and see lots of faults, and we think, well, that just sort of rules out my prayers. But it says here that Elijah was a man just like us. He had his faults, he had his warts. You can read them, I won't go into them, but I mean, there were parts of Elijah's life that wasn't very complimentary. But he had a nature like us. But he prayed and it didn't rain. Then he prayed again and it did rain. Now, where is the history of this? We go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, he is this prophet, and he gains an audience with the king, King Ahab. And it says in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" And he walks out. And the king probably thought, "Who's that kook? Says it's not going to rain till he says so." And a couple weeks later, they notice, you know, comments are made. "Well, we haven't had rain for a while." And a month goes by. "Boy, you know, we need some rain." And a couple of months go by, and man, we haven't had any rain. And this goes on. I don't know how far it got along, but finally King Ahab says, "Who is that guy that came in here?" Now, he just went in and proclaimed it. If you're just reading the story in 1 Kings, it's just like Elijah came in and he just said it. But James gives us the insight that behind all of this, he was praying. He prayed intensely that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then later, we're going to see, he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. In the narrative of the story in 1 Kings, you just think, God told Elijah to do this. He goes in and says it. It happens. Then God tells him to do this. He goes in and says it, and it happens. But James fills in the background and said he was intensely. He had an effective prayer. It was a fervent prayer. And as a result, it didn't rain, and then it did rain. Now, what was the basis of Elijah's prayer? Why would he just pray that it wouldn't rain? You have to go back to Deuteronomy 28, and that's your fill-in. The basis of Elijah's prayer was Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, the law was just given to Moses. And so he gathers Israel together, and he says, "Here's the law." And then in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, he tells them certain things. And he says to them, and let's read the first two verses of Deuteronomy 28. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And in chapter 28, you can just read down through the blessings. He says you're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the country. The fruit of the fields are going to be strong. Your cattle will increase. Your basket and your kneading bowl is going to be full. I mean, you can just read down through all the blessings that it says will happen if they will obey. And so, as you read down through this, you get to verse 12. Now notice what it says in verse 12. "The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand." This was the promise of God to Israel. If you obey my word, I will open the windows of heaven, and you will have rain on your land. Now notice, if you read on down further, then it says, if you don't obey these laws, these are the things that's going to come upon you. And then it gives this list of all the things that will happen in a negative way if you don't obey the law that's been given to you. And we move our way down until we get to verse 23 and 24. And this is what the Lord says. "And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust." So the fill-in is, if Israel disobeyed the heavens would be bronze and it wouldn't rain. If Israel obeyed, God would give rain. If Israel disobeyed, it would be bronze, and actually the ground would turn to dust and powder because there would be no rain. What was the basis of Elijah's prayer that it wouldn't rain? Now, stay with me because I'm getting to my point here of how this affects us today. He looked at God's word and saw what God said he would do. God said, if you disobey this, you're not going to get any rain. He looked around. He saw that King Ahab was one of the most ungodly kings that Israel ever had. He led the nation of Israel into idolatry and worshiping Baal. And as Elijah, a prophet of God, looked around, he saw that they were disobeying the commands of God. He knows Deuteronomy chapter 8, as all Israel knew, the promises and the blessings and the cursings. And he saw that one of the promises of God, that if you obey, it'll be rain, but if you don't obey, it won't rain. So he goes in before King Ahab, and he says, it's not going to rain till I tell you. What was the basis of that? Deuteronomy 28. Now, did he just say it and not do anything? No. He prayed that it would not rain. Now, here's the key. If you want to pray an effective prayer, you have to pray the promise of God. If you don't want to pray amiss, find out what God says he will do and then pray it. I don't think we get that connection. We think if God's promised to do something, it'll just automatically happen. We don't see that we have a part to play to pray it into existence. Elijah tells the king it's not going to rain, but then prays that it won't rain. Based on that, God said, if they disobey, it won't rain. And so he knows God, he knows God's word, but he suddenly takes hold of it. He sees the nation completely idolatrous, and so he says, I'm going to stand in the gap. And he actually implements the promise of God by praying them into existence. So then, let me just finish the story of Elijah. Then God tells Elijah to tell King Ahab that the rain will return. Because in the meantime, I can't go through the whole story, but you can read it in 1 Kings. They finally find Elijah, because he's this guy that says it's not going to rain. In fact, he comes back to the king. And Elijah challenges the king to say, you get all the prophets to Baal. Let's go to Mount Carmel. You lay out your sacrifice, and you pray, and the one that answers by fire will be God. And so, without going into the whole story, they get up, the prophets of Baal, they pray, they cut themselves, they try to get the sacrifice to answer by fire, but nothing happens. Elijah then has his offering made, and then he tells everyone, douse it with water, and they just douse it. And then Elijah prays and says, Lord God of Israel, you answer by fire. The fire comes out of heaven, consumes the sacrifice. It turns Israel back to God. They realize the God of Elijah is the God of Israel and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they turn back to God. And so then God tells Elijah, tell Ahab it's going to rain. Now listen, and why would that be so? Because they turned back to God. Now listen, the story, this is amazing to me. And so it says in 1 Kings 18:1, And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the earth. And then in verse 17 and 18. I'm going to leave that one, because that's where he tells Ahab, you've disobeyed and you've not followed my ways. Then let's drop down to verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Elijah confidently goes to King Ahab, and he tells him it's going to rain. Then what does he do? Go home and just relax, because God said it's going to rain? I want you to see this. No, he goes to the top of Mount Carmel, and he puts his head down between his knees, and he is praying. And I'm sure as he's praying, the dust is coming up around his face, because the Bible says it's going to turn to dust. And he's praying in the dust of his situation, praying that it's going to rain. Because he told Ahab it's going to rain. He sends a servant to look and see, is there any clouds? The servant comes back and says, no clouds. He puts his head between his knees and he prays again. He does this seven times. He continually prays before the Lord for it to rain. And finally sends his servant, and the servant says, there's just a small cloud. It's the size of a man's hand. And Elijah gets up. He says, send word to Ahab, get down off this mountain because it's going to rain, and he's not going to be able to get down if he doesn't get down now before it starts raining. And sure enough, it rains. James tells us, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't rain. Then he prayed that it would rain and it did rain. The prayer was essential for the promise of God to come into effect. Elijah heard the word of the Lord tell Ahab it's going to rain. But then after he tells him, he goes up and he prays. And listen, he prays fervently. He prays fervently. The most fervent prayer is heartfelt and continual. And that's your fill-in. Elijah represents the effective, fervent prayer, because he's given us the example. It's effective, listen, it's effective because he's praying what God said he would do. It's fervent because he keeps praying this heartfelt prayer, even though he's not getting an answer, even though God has told him, but all his circumstances are telling him it's not coming about. But he continues to pray seven times until he just sees a little breakthrough. And it starts to rain. This story is given to us in James to encourage us to pray. And so for you to receive your double portion, to receive what God has for you, if you're going to pray an effective prayer, pray the promises of God. Pray what it says in God's word about you. Find a promise of God and stand on it. And say, God, you have never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you said you're going to do, you're going to do. You're no respecter of persons. It's not that you'll hear this person's prayer, but you won't hear mine. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's no respecter of persons, that means you can take a promise of God and stand on it. But here's what we do many times. We read the promise of God, and it sort of encourages us. And we say, well, thank you, Lord, for that good promise there. And we might even take the next step and tell someone else, this is what God says in his word for me. But we don't pray about it. We don't get down and fervently pray. We think because he said it, it's just going to happen. I've been encouraging you to lay hold of a double portion. And I believe that's the word of the Lord to us. I believe that we are to, in your own heart, say, Lord, I want increase. I want to be a more loving parent or a more loving spouse. Or I want to be more effective in my worship or in my leadership or in my natural work. I mean, there's so many different aspects. God doesn't sit there and say, oh, no, you're asking too much. No, he wants us to ask greatly of him, to expect greatly from him. He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all we'd ask or think. That's not the problem. And many times we read it and we lay hold of it, but we don't pray. We're not fervent in our prayer. We're not saying, this is what he says, so I'm going to lay hold of it and I'm going to pray. A lot of times the dust of our situation clouds out our faith. But as Elijah is praying with his face in the ground, in the dust of his situation, he's still looking heavenward for the answer. He's still sending his servant, go look to the heavens. And I tell you, one of the most moving times when we went to Israel, for me personally, was standing on Mount Carmel. And we were on the top of Mount Carmel, and they had, you know, they have a little church there in the top where Elijah was. And we stood there and looked out, and I thought to myself, I'm standing where Elijah stood. He prayed somewhere here. I don't know where it is, but somewhere he was praying here. And I looked out, and I saw a little cloud way off in the distance. And I thought to myself, is that what the servant saw? A cloud like that. I'm standing the same location. And it encouraged me, because we need to lay hold of the same thing. You might have said, well, I've been praying for it for a long time and it hasn't come. Elijah prayed 7 times. 6 negative responses came back to him. He didn't see anything changing, but he prayed. He prayed effective, fervent prayers. Now, here's where the catch comes. You read that verse, say, okay, but you know what? It says of a righteous man. And I'm not very righteous. Obviously, that rules me out. But none of us are righteous. In fact, one of the prayer armors we're to put on in Ephesians chapter 6, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you read through Ephesians 6, that armor, he ends it saying, and pray fervently and pray in the Spirit. This is a prayer armor you put on. You put on the helmet of salvation. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You gird yourself with truth. What is the breastplate of righteousness? You need it because your skin isn't righteous enough. The only way we're going to be protected is by his righteousness. We celebrated it this morning. His death, his resurrection. It's not my righteousness. Elijah wasn't righteous. He was just like us, but he prayed. We're not in our own self righteous enough, but we have a breastplate we can put on. And you can pray believing God because you're praying according to his. That's why the Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, that makes it effective. I could ask lots of things according to my will. It's not going to come about. But if I ask anything according to his will, well, how will I know it's his will? Because I find it in the Word of God, a promise here. You need to be reading the Word of God. Many times you read the Word of God, and by his Holy Spirit, he'll have something leap off the page to you. And you say, that's mine. That's mine. It's happened several times to me. I'm reading a portion, and I read it, and I feel the Spirit says, lay hold of that. Lay hold of that. And so you just take that, and you just trust it, and say, that's for me. And then you start praying it. Effective, fervent prayers. Just put yourself into it. Let your heart be embraced with the things of God. Our hearts can be taken with a lot of things. Video games, sports, work, money, family. Our homes can, our hearts can be taken with a lot of things. But the Lord says, give me your heart. You give your heart to the Lord, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. You'll enjoy every aspect of life if you put him first. But you got to give your heart to God and say, I want God's things. I want God's purposes. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. I want my life to count. I want a double portion. I want to be used of God. I want a double portion. And I'm saying to you this morning, that's good. Now you now begin to pray effectively and fervently for it. That will double your prayer life. That'll double your prayer time. Just automatically. As you lay hold and start to pray for that double portion to come for you, to someone else you may be praying for, asking God to bless someone else. You're just effectively, fervently praying. Just giving yourself to it. Are you ready? Are you ready to pray? You ready to lay hold of it? Does your heart leap for it? It's there for us. God's ready to answer our prayer. Just be intentional and put yourself to it. Find that time and place. Just let it pour out of your heart. Just let it come forward. And see what God will do in your life. Will you stand with me this morning? The final fill-in on your sheet, I just see here, I need to give it to you. Through praying the promises of God, we receive his divine nature. Here's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Listen to it. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. How do I hook into his divine nature? How as a human being on earth do I lay hold of his divine nature? It says through his precious promises he's given. Through those promises, we are partakers of his divine nature. You need to pray the promise. Find the promise and start praying it into your life. Pray it into your life. The breakthrough will come. The clouds will pour in and there'll be showers of blessing that will pour all over your life. Let me pray for you. Lord, I confess this morning that I have read your promises. I have preached your promises many times. But Lord, I confess that I have not been as faithful in praying the promise. And Lord, I pray that that would change for me right now. That I would have a new heart to pray your promises for this church, the ministries of this church, to pray your promises upon the people of this congregation. Lord, help me to be faithful, to be effective and fervent in my prayers. And Lord, I pray for every member of this congregation as we stand here before you. Lord, you've given us great promises. Lord, you've spoken to us in the past. We know what you've birthed in our hearts. We've laid hold of it. We've even spoken of it. But Lord, we're still pressing into it. We want to see the fulfillment of it. And I just pray, Lord, you'd encourage people that have had their face in the dust and they have been praying. I ask, Lord, that they'd be fervent, and that they would continue to pray and press into you so that, Lord, we'll see the breakthrough come. Lord, I just ask that you would just charge us with a new desire to pray, that, Lord, that we'd be changed, that prayer would take on a new dimension in our lives, that we would not see it as something optional, but we'd see how essential it is for us to enter in. Help us to seek you with all of our face, seek you with all of our hearts, Lord. May prayer just be birthed out of this meeting this morning. Would our prayer lives come alive to you? I ask it in every family, in every couple, over every individual, Lord, that prayer would be birthed out of our hearts. And may we partake of your divine nature through praying your promises. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss you this morning. Be sure to sign up for the different things. And if you're a first-time visitor, do take that card and fill it out. Take it to the back for a gift. We appreciate you being with us today. If anyone would like prayer, just come up to the front. There are ones here in the service that are appointed to pray with you. Prayer team will come forward and come for prayer. Go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.